We're looking tonight at Luke chapter 12, verse 35 to 48. So if you've got a Bible, 1050 in the church Bibles. Luke 12, 35 to 48. Here we go, Luke 12, 35. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service, and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, My master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray as we begin. Father, please help us to be people that are humble and contrite and tremble at your word. Help us hear what you have to say to us, not just the bits we want to hear. Please send us from this place people longing to serve Jesus more and more. And we pray that for your glory. Amen. Great. Well, as we start, let me pose a question. If someone was to ask you in the street, what is a Christian? And they said, you've got three words to come up with to describe what a Christian is. And what would you come up with? Think about it for a second. Maybe if you're here and you're looking in from the outside at the Christian faith, you might go for, in your head, you wouldn't say out loud, but foolish, deluded, nice people, but they've unscrewed their head and left their brain at the door. Maybe if you're a Christian, you said saved, born again. You used hyphens to get born again in. Or even more hyphens to get someone who loves Jesus. How quickly do you think the word servant would have made your list of words to describe what a Christian is? I think as we look at this passage, we're going to see that it should probably make it higher up the list. I'm very quick to think about words that involve what Jesus has done for me, and less quick to think about words that involve what I do for Jesus. This passage is about serving. Have a look down at verse 36. Be like men who are waiting for their master. Servants have masters. Verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake. Verse 45. If that servant says to himself, My master is delayed in coming. Basic Christianity 101, Jesus is the master, Christians are servants. And it gets even more in your face when you realize, if you look at the footnote, the Greek is literally bondservants, footnote 5. You could almost translate it slave. I was chatting to a student at a previous church, and we were looking together as a group at a passage which talked about this, Jesus as the master and us as serving. And she said, no, you don't get it. I'm a waitress when I'm not studying. I hate serving. I do it just for the money. I hate waiting on tables. That's not what I'm about. And maybe if we're not Christian here tonight, we think, well, this just confirms all our worst suspicions. What is this religion that talks about us being slaves, servants to a master? Well, can I ask you just press pause for a second on your objections, wait till at least halfway through the talk, and see if this passage can persuade us that actually Jesus is someone who is worth serving. And also, I'd say this, we need to be realistic about the world in which we live. Freedom is what we long for, but true freedom is more elusive than it first appears. True freedom is more elusive than it first appears. We're free to have friends, yes, but are we free from what our friends think of us? We're free to have a smartphone, but are we free from our smartphone? Too often you walk past the restaurants, don't you, and see people sitting there, not talking to each other, just each of them with their smartphones out. We're free to go to work. Are we free from work? We're free to get on the tube. Are we free from the tube? I'm free to sleep around. Am I free from the pain that follows? We're free to chase money and fame. How many celebrities will it take to change our minds? How many Whitney Houstons, Philip Seymour Hoffmans, Amy Winehouses will it take to convince us that true freedom is more elusive than it first appears? The Bible comes to us and says maybe the choice isn't between one slavery and freedom, but between two slaveries. Slavery to a master who loves his servants enough to die for them and rescue them, or slavery to a world that chews us up and spits us out. So I think this passage has got lots to say to people who are looking in from the outside at the Christian faith. But actually, it's written to Christians. It's Jesus talking to disciples. 12 verse 22 is the introduction to the audience back in the previous section, but it carries on. And he said to his disciples. And it's not just about serving, it's about keeping on serving. If you've got your, I don't know, what colour are we calling this? Off-yellow dust colour. On the inside, you've got an outline, and that'll show you where we're going. We've done point one, talked about Christians as servants. We're on point two, servants, the command is keep on serving. And we'll see later, because Jesus keeps on serving. Keep on serving. It's there in the very first word of verse 35. Stay dressed for action. You were dressed for action, servants, disciples. You're doing well. Now stay dressed. Keep serving. 36. Be like men who wait. Go on waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast. Look how devoted they are, so they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Verse 38, if he comes in the second watch, that's the middle of the night, or in the third, that's towards daybreak, and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. Those who keep serving. Servants are people who keep serving. They keep doing whatever their master wants, and they keep doing it whenever the master wants it. Whatever, whenever. The best example I've seen of this kind of devotion, when we had Phoebe back in November, Mary was the kind of model of this with Phoebe. Whatever Phoebe needed, whenever Phoebe needed it, even if it was, and it was, the middle of the night and towards daybreak, Mary was up at her side, giving her what she needed. I have this problem called deep sleep. I think there's a new dad guilt, where you wake up in the morning and you don't go, oh, that was a great night's sleep, wasn't it? You go, how was the night? Because you're not sure and you slept all the way through. But that's the kind of, what are we talking about? Serving a master, yeah. Phoebe, our little master come dictator, whatever she wanted, whatever she needed, whenever she needed it, Mary was there at her side. Be ready to do whatever, whenever. And this command to keep on serving, it's to whoever. That's what's going on in the second half of this passage. Verse 41, Peter asked this seemingly innocuous question. Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? But Jesus, you can tell from the response he gives, he seems to spot in Peter's question a distinction Peter's trying to draw between Christian leaders and the rest of Christians. Is it to us kind of big shot apostles, or other Christians? Because that's why Jesus tells the next parable. Who then is the faithful and wise manager who his master will set over his household? So there's a servant, a wise manager, who's set over the household, over the other servants. But that servant's job is to serve the other servants. It's to give them their food at the proper time. It's not to do verse 45, to forget about the master, forget about serving the other servants, and to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk. No, whatever, whenever, whoever. Christian leaders haven't graduated from serving. And if any of them act like they have, remind them. Feel free to remind me if you ever see me acting like I've graduated from serving. Whatever, whenever, whoever. Now, we've just heard a whole load of commands, in some sense, from Jesus. Keep serving. Keep on going. And if we're honest and we're sitting here as Christian people today, we're going, okay, I know these things in my head. I know it's what I ought to do. But my problem is I don't know these things in my heart. I know I'm supposed to serve. I just don't want to. Maybe just picture in your mind the last thing you did, which you consider to be Christian service. You could think about coming early to set up at church, serving in Sunday school in the morning here, maybe. Maybe away from church, at home, just serving your housemate, cleaning up after them again and again and again. Doing it because you know Jesus would have you serve people around you. Or sharing the gospel, telling someone about Jesus at work. Just picture that moment in your mind, whatever you've got, and ask yourself, why did I do that? What was going through my mind? What was going through my heart when I did that? Was it delight or drudgery? Was it privilege or habit? Was it longing to serve people more and more, or dreaming about what it would be like if you just chucked it all in? It's very easy to start off with good intentions to make your New Year's resolution, to
leave church going, yes, I will serve. But then keeping on serving, that is the challenge. When I was writing this talk, I spent a lot of time on the Monday preparing and looking at this and seeing all the commands and seeing, yes, keep on serving, keep on serving. But then on Monday night, I was sitting on the sofa, food was on our laps, the box set was ready to go on the TV, we were happy, we were ready for a night. And then the phone rung, and a lady from our church, who we'd already invested quite a bit of time in, and we were trying to serve, she rung and she wanted to come round, and if I was honest, I didn't want to keep on serving. I don't know if you've ever had that experience. Do we want to keep on serving? I was having a bad night. Later on, Mary said, are you going to go to badminton? So that's a sports club I go to because I was hoping, well, I like badminton, and I was hoping it'd be a chance to tell people about Jesus. And I was like, no, I'm not going. I'm staying here right on this sofa. Leave me alone. I didn't quite put it like that. Mary, who plays the part of my conscience, later on she said, Matt, we haven't prayed together today. Should we pray? And I couldn't say no to that one. But in my heart, I wanted to. I didn't want to keep on serving. What does this passage have to say to me, not in my study when I'm coming up with my commands, but on a Monday night where I need that shot of motivation, that motivation to keep on serving, not just the bare commands? Well, I want to spend the rest of our time looking at point three, which is found in verse 37, really, is this: keep on serving because Jesus keeps on serving. We keep on serving because Jesus keeps on serving. I think seeing this in this passage, it has genuinely gripped me and got me excited. There is something in this passage about who Jesus is that got me, that made me go, yes, keeping on serving, that is right. So I want to, if you've fallen asleep, this is the moment to wake up. This is the verse or the section of this talk. I'd love you to make the background on your smartphone, or on your screensaver, or do whatever it takes to get this truth into our hearts this week. Keep on serving because Jesus keeps on serving. Let's read verse 37. I've given it the big build-up, so I've got to prove that it is that good. Blessed are those servants whom the Master, Jesus, finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he, Jesus, will dress himself for service as a slave, and have them, the servants, recline at table, and he, Jesus, will come and serve them. Now, I don't think we know exactly what it's going to be like for Jesus to serve his people in eternity, but the banquet is the picture, so let's run with the picture. We're supposed to picture Jesus with a dirty apron on, out the back, scrubbing pots and pans, down on his knees, feeding people at table, making sure everyone else has eaten, and then himself eating late on into the night. I wonder, do we get the ridiculousness of this picture? Do we get how weird it is that the master of the universe, the one who made everything, will spend eternity serving? I mean, it's right. When we think about Jesus' second coming, we think about his mastery. When we think about his first coming, we're used to thinking, yes, Jesus served at his first coming. But we often tend to think, well, he served for a bit, but then he quit, then he goes back to his throne, and he sits on his throne, and he rules, and he comes in power and glory. And that's right. Later on in chapter 14, Jesus tells another story where he's the master of the banquet, suppressing those who oppose him. That's the kind of Henry VIII Wolf Hall picture, that kind of banquet. But in this passage, Jesus wants to teach us something different about himself. He wants to say, I'm not just the master throwing the banquet, I'm the slave serving the banquet. It's not first coming serve, second coming master. It is first and second coming, the master who serves. This is the truth, this is the motivation we need to get in our hearts. You see, this verse is not just bare cost-benefit analysis. That's what the city looming over us would like us to think. Just make this cost-benefit analysis. Just keep serving for the whole of your life, and then you have a party in heaven. No, this is Jesus giving us a glimpse into his character. He wants us to keep on serving because we see him, that we see that he keeps on serving. This is what we need to get into our thick skulls, into our hard hearts. The master of the universe, to whom every knee will bow, will spend eternity on his knees. He's not some slave master. He is a slave and a master. We never graduate from serving because Jesus never graduates from serving. The Christian life is very simple. It's about looking at Jesus, looking at who he is, seeing that he's the master and choosing to serve, and seeing that he's the servant and following him on the path of service. I said at the start, didn't I, if you're looking in at the Christian faith, I said, is this someone you could choose to serve? I would never put myself in that kind of servant-master, slave-master relationship with another human. I wouldn't trust them enough. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts, absolutely. What does Jesus do with his absolute power? Jesus serves, and he keeps on serving, and he keeps on serving, and he never uses and abuses. Every command he issues is for his people's good because he loves them. And you can guarantee that's true because in eternity you will see Jesus down on his knees at your feet. Do you get the wonder of that? That's who we serve. Does that not make you want to keep on serving yourself? Servants, keep on serving because Jesus keeps on serving. I guess before we move on and apply this, it's worth saying our sinful hearts are so gripped by the idea of people serving us that it'd be very easy to just go, yeah, oh, I love the idea of Jesus serving me. I don't need to worry about this other master stuff. I just want him to serve me. Yeah, that's great. But this passage won't let us make that move. You see, we need to get from this passage that it's not just that Jesus loves service and he embraces it, it's that Jesus, he hates self-service. Jesus hates self-service. He opposes it rather than embraces it. He throws it out rather than welcoming it in. We saw those Christian leaders in verse 45, if that servant, that Christian leader who's supposed to be serving the other servants, if he says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, to use and abuse, to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know,
and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. Jesus loves service. Jesus hates self-service. Will we embrace Jesus and serving and keeping on serving? Or will we embrace a life where we serve ourselves and meet Jesus in eternity, knowing he opposes and hates self-service? But what am I to do on a Monday night or a Tuesday morning as I look back at my Monday night where I've just served myself? What am I supposed to think? Well, I think we're to look at Jesus' first coming, his service on the cross. We're to look at him as, if you like, Jesus was cut in pieces. That's what I wouldn't have to be. We look at the one who was treated as unfaithful, cast out, that I could be treated as faithful and welcomed in. Jesus keeps serving, so we should keep on serving. What's going to look like this week as we walk out the door? Well, I hope firstly we see we need to get our motivations in place. The bare command doesn't do it. We need to spend time not just ticking off on our list of to-dos, our time looking at the Bible for ourselves or going to church. We need to use those as times where we can dwell, meditate, if you like, on Jesus' character. That we'd want to do that for ourselves. That we'd want to follow him on the road of service. Once we get motivations, we need to think, well, what's it going to look like in practice for us this week? As a church, corporately, the plant is about to go to Greenwich. It'd be very easy to think, oh, you know, I could serve on the plant because it's new and exciting. I could get on board with that. But the plant needs people who keep on serving, who are serving in 10, 20, 30, 50 years' time. If we go because it's new and exciting, rather than because we're gripped by Jesus and how he keeps on serving, it will struggle. People who are staying here and not going with the plant, if it feels old hat, if I've been on that rota month after month after year, and it feels like drudgery, will I look again at Jesus and keep on serving? I guess this passage has got lots to say to leaders in particular. If we're leaders here of growth groups, of Sunday school groups, we help try and disciple a younger Christian, will we keep on serving? About givers here, maybe we gave financially, and we gave to a level that it actually hurt. It wasn't just the loose change, it was giving that hurt. And we did that the year before, and the year before that, and we don't want to give, and it hurt. Will we keep on looking at Jesus, looking at the one who gave and gave and gave while it hurts? Will we keep on serving? As individuals, well, our prayer lives, you could serve other people by keeping on praying. Serving our friends, someone this week I was spending quite a lot of time in, investing in, making it sound like he wants to walk away from the Christian faith, and he's moved to Wales, and part of me, just, if I'm honest in my sinful heart, just wants to slightly wipe my hands and move on and find someone else to spend my time with. Will I keep on serving? Because Jesus keeps on serving. Maybe there's people that you've invested in and you've slackened off. Will we keep on serving, whatever that looks like in our context? But as we close, let's remember the motivation. Let's not leave here without having seen Jesus again.
and seen him for who he is and wanted to be like him and trust him and follow him. Let's keep on serving because Jesus keeps on serving. Let me pray as we close. Father, we're conscious of the sin, the selfishness, the self-centeredness in our own hearts. We long for the day in eternity where our hard hearts will be dealt with fully, finally, completely. Please help us see Jesus clearly now that we'd be people that long to keep on serving, that flee self-service and love you and love your people. And we pray that for your glory. Amen.